Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Come on in. Grab a seat. We're going to start with some songs, so if you'll stand and take a hymn book from in front of you, we're going to start with number 66, To God Be the Glory. And we're going to sing all the verses. Let's sing together. Number 66. Number 67, just the next page over, the love of God.
Reaches to the
right, thank you. As you sit, I'll invite you to come up to the front of the church. I know we've got a lot of people here that are normally not part of my, or not used to my harassing. But there's going to be lots of things on the screen, so you might want to move down where you can see. All right. Thank you.
Good effort, good effort. Well, don't you love that song, The Love of God? That's one of my favorites. Hey, good to see you all tonight. Thanks for coming out. Have a special evening tonight. Ken Turnbull is going to be speaking to us and sharing, just giving us a report and maybe preaching a little bit. I don't know what all you have planned, but they're here, and we, of course, help to support them. So we want to know what's going on and what's the latest so we can continue to pray for them. But I know you'll want to listen prayerfully as he comes to share. But we're thrilled to have you guys. Welcome, and hope your brief time stateside is a blessing and refreshing to you. Why don't we bow together and pray, though, before he comes. Father, we are here tonight because of your love. We know that. We love you because you have first loved us. And so we just praise you and thank you for your immeasurable love for us that you've demonstrated through ascending Christ to die on the cross for us. We just praise you and thank you for your grace and for the privilege that we have as your people to sing of that and to spread the news of that, both here in our city and around the world. And thank you for the way you are continually raising up people to do that. Thank you for the Turnbulls and their ministry. Pray you would encourage us tonight and encourage them tonight as Ken comes and shares. But thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the privilege of being partners together with you in the proclamation and spread of it. Pray you'll continue to cause us to be faithful to that and to stay focused and riveted on that. That's our purpose, that all the nations might sing of your love and praise you as we've done tonight. So bless Ken as he comes now, and just encourage us with what he has to say. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Good evening. Welcome. It's nice to be back at FPC. I was thinking this morning when we, especially during communion, I think this is still feels the most like our home church. We've been members at a lot of different churches. We've moved around a lot. But, you know, you always kind of compare what you're most comfortable with. And we really love our Zambian church. But it's still, when it comes to things like communion, I really miss, and so does Lisa. We were talking about it on the way home. There's still a sweetness to the fellowship and to the worship here that we really do miss. So it's nice to be back. I realized too there was probably a lot of people, new faces here that I didn't recognize, but I don't see as many this evening. So maybe most people are familiar with who we are. Let me make sure that the slide is going to work before we get started. John, it's not finding the Wi-Fi. Oh, maybe it did. Are you doing that? Okay. Sorry, technical difficulty. It seems like the last time I remember sharing here, we went through this as well. Sorry. I'm going more high-tech than I ever should, is probably. transformation look like? And my focus at the time was, you know, we were in the midst of New Tribe's mission approach to presenting the gospel, which is a scriptural overview from Genesis 1 to the resurrection. And so I was kind of developing an idea of education around that gospel presentation. And then they called me down to be part of a meeting that they were a part of, or a conference. And things just kept rolling and getting us more and more involved. So eventually we made the decision that, look, the Lord is really leading us down this path, so we should either pursue that or pursue church planting. And in consultation with the field leadership, we decided there was a lot more potential in working towards this higher education objective. So that then began our development of what would we do in terms of higher education if the core focus were really bringing the gospel first, and then making sure that we're developing people who are going to serve God with their lives, and whatever area He calls them into, they're going to be a part of bringing the gospel to the world and the environment that they end up in. And so we continued devising this approach to education, and we thought this was going to be done in Mozambique, but we readily became aware that there wasn't really a national church that would handle something of the scale that we were working towards. And it was then that we were redirected to Zambia, where the Baptist church that we're working with now has about 41 churches now. They were very strong in church planting, but the most amazing thing, it was a completely indigenous church planting work. So it was made, developed by Zambians. All the churches were composed of Zambians. There was no missionary organization involved. And they had come into very solid biblical teaching, and they began to send missionaries out and do things that we had never seen in Mozambique, which was supporting their own missionaries, sending them out with pay to plant churches. And then over a 7-year period, those churches would take over complete support of these pastors. And the entire time we were involved in church planting work in Mozambique, we never saw a paid pastor, let alone a church sending out missionaries and paying them as well, and expecting their support to be covered by the churches. So it was a very unique church planting movement that was going on in Zambia, and we realized this is the kind of foundation that could actually handle this. And so lo and behold, as we began to pursue this, we found out 2 years prior to that, they began seeking assistance for starting into tertiary education, higher education. We might have some slides now. Thank you, Ian. Ian is fortunately coming back to Zambia. If we ever lose him, I will be completely lost with it saying connecting to your computer. Okay, good. Well, let's see, where was I? Zambia. Let me just switch to the slide, so sorry if I get you confused here. Let me talk about ACU then, that what we were developing. Oh, I know what I was talking about. The vision was already being developed by the Zambians. They had started primary education. They were working towards secondary education. They now have both primary and secondary education going through their churches. And so they were looking towards moving into higher education. And there was one gentleman in particular who's now the chairman of our board, who almost the same time that we began to be redirected into higher education, he started praying that they might be able to get into Christian higher education themselves. And so him and I are like brothers now. We enjoy each other's company. It really resonates that God was raising us both up to do something in this area, and now we're working together to accomplish it. So the vision that we've come up with for African Christian University has four main facets that I'll mention quickly. Holistic transformation, where we really want to see a whole life education. So not just an intellectual education, sitting in the classroom and being lectured to,
That will be a part of it, but even the lecture platform will involve more interactive discussion with the students. But also then there's an aspect of discipleship through labor. And so we have an extensive labor program that will be our discipleship platform to make sure that the education is actually enacted into the students' lives and to put us in a situation where we can observe them and we can work with them and we can develop the kind of relationships that will actually allow us to see their whole life impacted by this approach to bringing the gospel into education. And with that then, and something that fits in very well with the African culture, African worldview, is the mentor emphasis, where relational development is very important in the learning process. But for the most part, higher education, it's just been a Western imported higher education into Africa. So if you went to any university in Africa, it would actually look very much like any university here. In fact, they would probably be using the same textbooks, teaching from those. It would be a lecture style with the professor in front of the class lecturing to the students. But if you go back into their primary school and before that and observe the way that they learn, it's very much in a group setting with it's a relational developed education, usually through the elders in the village, and that's more the style that they're used to learning in. And so it's never really been adapted to education. Clearly, a mentor focus means a much deeper relational involvement between the teacher and the student. And so we really want to make this a directed effort of the approach to education. With that, then, the Christian excellence aspect, typically because of the animistic worldview that's kind of developed the African or the African traditional religious worldview, this animistic animism that feeds into their worldview brings in a kind of fatalism to where they see themselves as just part of the flow of ongoing process of life, and you know their life is very insignificant in the context of this, and so there's very little effort to really stand out to do something spectacular. Now there's the odd case where someone does rise up and they become a very influential leader, someone very innovative, but for the most part that's not there. Well, the Christian excellence aspect of this is meant to set a standard to where everyone realizes that our potential is set by the fact that we're created in the image of God. It's not based on the fact of how important am I and how influential can I be, but what has God created me to be? And so bring it into a biblical context and help them to realize that God expects something very high of us. In fact, there's no limit to what we can perform for Him. And so trying to bring that desire to see an excellence developed. This is telling me some strange things. Can I just switch to a manual process here? Could you give it one click? And we'll, thank you. The African distinction is the fact that higher education, again, because it's imported largely from the West, it typically educates students either for positions that don't exist in Africa, or it promotes things that need to be developed still, or they move overseas in order to find a position that they're educated into. And so we really want to keep the focus of the students and our education program on Africa and on the needs there. That doesn't mean we're lowering the standard of education at all. What it means is that we want to turn the students' attention to all the needs of Africa and make sure that they realize the education that I'm receiving can be applied towards transforming Africa, towards seeing development in Africa. And so we've got a very purposeful, again, development all the way up through the senior year, where in the end they'll write a proposal, thesis, with a group of students who come together to direct their effort at addressing some challenge in the African culture. So maybe it'll be educational or health-related or a business. But they'll work together as a team. They'll submit this proposal. If it appears that it might have some worth to it, then we'll actually try and find seed money to allow this group of students to initiate this idea, and then we'll offer a fifth-year honors program to that group of students in order to pursue that. So I'll get into more of that in a moment. Next slide, please. So let me give a quick history of where we've been. This was at the bottom, that picture, that was the first meeting we had between myself, Pastor Conrad Mbewe, and Pastor Ronald Kalafungwa. Pastor Mbewe is at Kabwata Baptist Church in southern Lusaka, and Pastor Kalafungwa is in Lusaka Baptist Church, right in the center of Lusaka. And this was actually our very first lunch that we had together, and we discussed the prospects of higher education from a solidly biblical format in December of 2008. You can see from the Gantt chart above, and I think we were here from 2009 through 2010. We returned to Africa in 2011, and so we've been progressing through this. We intend to start classes, as you see at the very bottom, January of 2014. Next slide, please. So let me just, for those of you who weren't familiar with what we were doing, this was in 2006. We started in Mozambique, working towards doing a vernacular church plant. Next slide, please. And this was the conference where I met the group of pastors, where they approached me and asked for some assistance with starting a Christian college. Next slide. And so this is when I began studying worldview issues and looking at the African worldview, at the Western worldview, and a biblical worldview, and trying to format what could education do in order to see a transformation of the African and Western worldview, which is kind of the mixture that would probably encompass most Africans and move that towards a biblical worldview. And so largely this came about through coming across Booker T. Washington and seeing what the student labor program that was developed for Tuskegee University accomplished in that regard. Next slide, please. So this was our first meeting then in December of 2008 with the committee that they called together to examine how would this work, the Christian higher education there in Lusaka. Next slide, please. And then it was right after this, I think most people know the story of Ian. I promised not to look at the slides because I didn't want to belabor this too long. But Ian came down with cerebral malaria at this time, and this is what the Lord used in our lives to get me to quit running from this project, because I was seeing how big this was going to be, and I felt like surely there was someone else out there who could handle this, and it wasn't me. And he took us through this process of losing our son. We thought he was going to pass on. Next slide, please. With cerebral malaria, they managed to medevac him out. Next slide, please. And down in South Africa, he remained in a coma for 5 days, but he did survive this through the prayers of many of God's people around the world. And it was through this, in my mind, resurrection of our son from the dead that I realized God's power is unlimited, and it really wasn't about us. It was about him, and it was about something he was going to do. And it's been from this point on that Lisa and I have unabashedly marched forward towards pursuing this goal, and we've now managed to see the Zambians are equally as fired up about this. So it's exciting to really see this grow and come towards fruition. Next slide, please. And there's Ian after he recovered, and the Lord did bring him back to us. I was thinking of that this morning when Joe Rogers was sharing with us for communion, and the heartache, what did the Heavenly Father go through in seeing his own son die, and it reminded me of Abraham having to go through this. And maybe this is a standard process that if the Lord really needs to convince someone, look, it's about me, it's not about you. He uses their son, and so he used our oldest son in this case as well. Next slide, please. And so that's when we committed ourselves to working towards the vision of ACU. We came back and set up ACU USA here. Next slide, please. And we started our girls in college that fall as well, Domaris and Hannah. Next slide. And then we traveled around with Conrad and Mbewe down there in the bottom right. And this is a picture from what was the U.S. Center for World Mission. As I understand, it's changed names now, but Ryan Emus set up a meeting for us there. Next slide, please. Others, the Kellogg's, met Conrad when he was here. Next slide, please. And then we organized everything on this end in order to set up ACU USA, mainly as a sending agency and as a fundraising agency to help support the work in Africa. Next slide. And then we return to Africa. I put an elephant in the background just so you know we're in Africa there. And we were there. We were in South Africa for about 4 months. So we set up another. After having done it once here, I knew the process a little better. It took us 4 months there as opposed to 2 years. But we got African Christian University, RSA, South Africa, set up there. They're doing the same thing, a little more logistic importance to that organization. But they're also functioning well now. Next slide, please. And then we moved into Lusaka, and the boys made friends quickly, and there we are unloading our supplies. Next slide, please. This was the house that we've moved into. It's got at least two extra rooms that any visitors, you're welcome. We've always got extra space for anyone who wants to come out and see what's going on there. Next slide, please. There's what it looks like more recently. Next slide. And so then we set into developing how exactly are we going to structure the academic programs at African Christian University. I'm not going to go through all of this. It's a fairly complex, but it's a one-slide graphic that we basically have utilized in order to express for us the development of African Christian University. As you can see, it's centered on Christ. It's then encompasses our interaction with Christ, our learning and relationship that we have with Christ in order to understand God and the world and us as well. And then through the education, the green encyclopedia cycle expresses the different avenues of academics that we learn and understand God in deeper ways. And all of this, then the final outcome being the eupraxia, the practice. What do we put into practice based on what we learn? And so the real focus of African Christian University is character transformation. If it's not affecting the behavior of the individual who's being educated, then it's not a true holistic transformation of this student in the learning process. And so we really want to see the practice impacted in how the student behaves. What is their character like? And that's what the outer circle expresses. All of this then being connected to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength are the bridges that connect that behavior, the character traits that are coming out of the education with the centrality of Christ. So this is kind of our device to summarize what it is that we're setting out to do. Next slide, please. And so let me describe the academic programs that we're setting up right now. Let's see, you'll have to, just click, thank you. The first one is a one-year scholars program. I'll describe that in more detail in a minute. We intend to start that this coming January. Next is a two-year diploma in Christian worldview. That one is more or less a modeled off a few different existing programs here. And with the emphasis of a student labor program, making it a more holistic education there and the discipleship aspect coming into that. That one we intend to start the following year, 2015, and that will run up to the first graduates. By the way, a diploma here would be the equivalent of an Associate of Arts degree. That would end then in 2017. Next is a four-year bachelor's degree in theology, and then we'll have the arts and sciences develop as we bring people on board who can teach in the various areas. That would be initiated in 2017. Next is the five-year bachelor with honors degree, which we would want to initiate then in 2019. And so if we can continue through this progression, then we would have the first full graduates with honors degree in 2020. And so that's our target right now. Next slide, please. The scholars program then that we want to start in January includes the Bible's grand narrative is the core curriculum. That's a historic redemptive overview of the scriptures. So going all the way from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, emphasizing God's redemptive plan for mankind all the way through. And so making sure the students get a very full view of the gospel and God's purpose and what it's meant to do in changing our lives. And so that first year program then will be including both the regenerate and unregenerate students. So we'll open it up for anyone who wants to come. We are pitching this as a preparatory year for students that want to enter any higher education program and that academically will bring them up to speed to enter any program, including African Christian University. The next point is we'll emphasize then with the remedial development of the students' educations. Typically coming out of high school, what we're realizing is in some areas, particularly language arts, we might be dealing with students anywhere from a 7th grade up to a 12th grade level. And so we're trying to develop coursework that we can bring them all up to some consistent level. We're shooting for about 11th to 12th grade in this scholars program. So we'll have a remedial development in language arts where we'll draw most of our curriculum from that core curriculum of the Bible's grand narrative in order to keep a consistency and re-emphasize that gospel focus. Next point is the Christian reasoning and rhetoric, or we might call that critical thinking. Critical thinking is a very weak area in African education. It's something that we take for granted largely, and I think it's because we're raised from very young children to do things like stacking blocks and doing puzzles and doing things that actually develop our critical thinking and our three-dimensional skills in a way that Africans don't typically get exposed to. And so by the time they're into high school, it really affects their ability to function in critical thinking and logic. And it's not that we're trying to bring them into a Western approach to that. It's a biblical approach to thinking rationally, thinking orderly. And so we're trying to develop in this area as well a curriculum that inputs into the context of where these students are coming from and brings them up to a level that they're able to more quickly grasp, particularly issues of discernment, discerning good and evil, and being able to work their way through complicated contemporary studies and still be discerning in the way that they approach those. The next point is they'll need development in mathematics as well, and I'll introduce some of the people that will be teaching in these areas a little bit later. And the next point is the computer skills. We'll develop those as well. And then lastly is the student labor program. The student labor program, I've already emphasized, that'll be about half of our program. So we'll have half being the coursework and half being the labor development skills program. Next slide, please. So just to introduce, we do have the various boards. We're working towards one in the UK. We actually have a gentleman who's going to do that, but it still isn't really functioning yet, so let that one grayed out. The stakeholding board is composed of the pastors of the four churches that are supporting the African Christian University project at the bottom, Kabwata, Lusaka, Mount Makulu, and Evangel Baptist Church. Next slide, please. And so just to put faces to some of those names, on the far left is John Chundu. He's the chairman of the ACU Zambia board. He was the one who began praying a few years before we developed this. Him and I have been working fairly closely since I arrived there. You can scan across. I tend to stand out in most pictures fairly clearly. Next slide, please. These are the four gentlemen who are helping with the management development of African Christian University. Watson Lumba has an accounting firm there in Lusaka. He's the finance director, volunteering his services at this point. Ray Warwick has been in Christian education over 35 years here in the U.S., and at 61 years of age, after two knee replacement surgeries, 2 months prior to coming, he moved to Zambia with his wife, and he went through a painful rehabilitation of his knees while he's adjusting to the culture. He's my hero now. I haven't experienced anyone who transitioned quite under quite as difficult a circumstances as he did and did such a good job. But he's been a real godsend. Ray is developing most of the academic programs, and he's very excited about the project, very enthusiastic when he shares about the project. David Wegner is, we're calling him Dean of the Seminary. It's an interim position right now. The seminary is kind of rolling other programs, other seminaries that are operating through the Zambian churches into African Christian universities. So this is still being molded at this time. And the last one, Billy Ciccione, is someone who we're trying to hire away from World Vision right now. He's been involved with the churches that we're involved with for all of his life. He's got all the contacts. Anytime we have an issue, Billy always recommends someone who we need to get in touch with in order to resolve the issue. We're hoping to bring him on board fully salaried by September. And so I think he'll be a great addition to moving the project along more rapidly there. Note at the bottom, Dean of Student Labor is a position we still need. It's a very broad position because we're looking for someone who has both a theology background and maybe some business in their background and someone who might have a lot of hands-on skills. We would really like to see someone come in who could demonstrate what's the biblical worldview of labor look like. And they exemplify that with the students. We would like to start businesses through the student labor program and as well as different service offerings for the local community. And then do things like market on the internet in order to bring funds into the university through the student labor program. So that's a critical position and one that we haven't really identified the right candidate for that. So if anyone feels like they might meet these qualifications and you want to come to Zambia, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. Next slide, please. The land issue is the one I wanted to spend a little bit of time just to impress upon you. This has been a real struggle. We had a piece of land that we felt was too far out of Lusaka, so we started looking for other land and came into the Kokote village about 15 kilometers outside of Lusaka. It was just about the right location for what we were looking for. You can see from the backdrop it was a gorgeous view. You could really envision an aesthetically beautiful campus developing out of this. This was the committee and the local headman that we were dealing with in trying to work through this land. And there's John Chundu again at the far left. Next slide. Thank you. There's the location, just to put it in perspective. Zambia, by the way, I guess this is the first map I've shown, is right in the center of southern Africa. Lusaka is nearly in the center of that. And then about 15 kilometers southeast of Lusaka is that the Kokote village land. Next slide, please. And we've had problems with that land. The chief, which is actually a woman, so the chieftainess, recently it appears that she's trying to get another university. She's Catholic, and it appears she's actually trying to get a Catholic university to come in and offering them that same land. So we're not sure how this is going to work out, but we're kind of working through government channels now trying to see if we can resolve this. But in the meantime, the benefit of that, this happened right as I was leaving Zambia. It forced the Zambians to jump in and take control of this, and it's really upped their ownership, I think, in the project as a whole, which has been a very positive outcome of these land issues. But they stepped in and found land about 85 kilometers to the west of Lusaka that was available, being made available to us by the chief of that area, and at no cost, and they promised to get it through rapidly. Next slide, please. So there's a quick shot of its location relative to Lusaka. And then the next slide, there's one more piece of land. This is actually what we started with, was land that's held by Lusaka Baptist Church about 50 miles north of Lusaka. Next slide, please. And so you can see those three pieces of land are essentially what we're looking at. The one, 80 kilometers north of Lusaka is 150 acres. The one west is 400 acres. The one to the southeast is 35 acres, where the land they were promising to expand it as we needed it. But at this point with the relationship, we're not very confident that that expansion would occur without a lot of headache. And so we're kind of back to really praying through this issue again. And we would appreciate your support with us in prayers. We're seeking which one would work. The lands that is farther away, I'm afraid the development of these remote areas would be very challenging. So we're looking for still something closer to the capital city in order to make this functional. Next slide, please. We do have the designs for that last piece of land that was to the north of Lusaka, so that would make it rather easy for us to move in and to start building on that land much quicker. Next slide, please. And we've had all the expertise that we need. We've had Zambians step up to fill every position. So all the ones in the left-hand column here would basically be handling most of the construction work. And to the right is the environmental impact and the things that we would need to do to get approval to start building on the land. Next slide, please. And so I just wanted to mention some of the families that are coming over and what they'll be doing. Again, I would appreciate your prayer for these families. They're all, to me, it's a very risky prospect. They are coming out to, you know, very much an undeveloped project. It's still just more words than it is physical reality. And they're committing themselves to the process of raising support in order to come out and help us with African Christian University. So I appreciate their heroic effort in doing this. Carlos and Diana Paul family in the upper left corner. He's up in Toronto, and they are starting fundraising right now. And they're in a church of a couple that we were going to do our church planting work with New Tribes Mission. They've started a church up in the Toronto area, and Carlos was part of his church. So that's how he heard about African Christian University, and they were very excited about the prospects. So they're going to come with an organization called Global Outreach Mission, and he'll be doing theological education with us in the scholars program initially. Chris and Karen Hayes on the far right. They'll also be teaching in the scholars program. They're up in Michigan. They, too, are just starting their fundraising process right now. And he'll be teaching. He can teach a variety of the courses, actually, in the scholars program, that one-year program. And then Bert and Nancy Williams are in South Africa right now. They're missionaries with Mission to the World. He'll be doing community service coordinator with the student labor program. We'll be involving the local community into farming projects and other service-oriented projects with the university. And Bert and Nancy will be leading up that aspect in getting the local community involved in the university. And he actually was doing some kind of code breaking with the CIA, maybe one of John's old cohorts, I don't know, but he's way up in mathematics. He talks about stuff that I don't know what he's even saying, but he's going to help us with the mathematics course. He says he prefers to teach at the remedial level, so he's actually looking forward to teaching. So I appreciate your prayers for these three families. And there's one more that will be coming on board to teach the computer skills. He's also a missionary already in Zambia, so he's in place ready to start that as soon as we're ready to offer it. So we are in place then for the scholars program to start in January. Next slide, please. So let me just mention two of the needs. The one, the ACU project manager, with the construction projects coming up and the desire to really make sure that we hold a high standard in the quality of construction that we do, we're looking for someone who could oversee the whole project. We've got all the expertise in place to do the construction, but we don't have that one coordinating factor that would keep everything on schedule and make sure that everything is done to a standard of excellence that will glorify Christ in the finished product. So we're looking for someone who could come out and help us in that area, or maybe a few people who could rotate and help us. So I know there's construction experts here in our midst, and well, I don't see Joe Rogers, but there's people here that I think have construction experience that if they feel compelled to test out their expertise in Africa, we would certainly welcome you to come and help us with this. The other is the library donations. We need at least a 10,000 book library for accreditation. I've announced this in the last couple of ACU prayer updates, and we've gotten three full libraries donated and some other books, but we're still below the number that we need. So if anyone wants to donate books to ACU, we would appreciate that as well. On with the needs. The next point is actually, you can just flash through the next several points quickly. prayer support, financial support, the land, materials, and infrastructure is coming up, workers and construction staff, and then the faculty. We need both the academic mentors and the labor disciplers for this. So those are the needs that we're looking for, and we appreciate again your prayers for these needs as well. Next slide, please. And then the 425 campaign is still running. We're looking for 400 people that would donate $25 a month towards ACU. If anyone wants to take part in that, we have forms at the back on a table. You could sign up to help us out in that way. We're also looking for partners that would be in prayer with us, and we have a sign-up form in the back as well for that. Sign up and receive the monthly ACU prayer update to keep you informed as to prayer needs. And then, of course, anyone who wants to come out and work with us, it's almost limitless. Pretty much if you have a skill and you're a Bible-believing Christian that wants to disciple Africans in the faith, then we could probably find a place for you. So we would welcome anyone who has an interest to at least talk to us and see how it might work out. Next slide, please. I wanted to just show a few pictures to get more personal to our family here at the church. This is me and John Chundu. Next, please. This was a view of the land. You can click through the next two kind of quickly. These were some of the building plans of how we were approaching developing some of our first structures. We've all become members of Lusaka Baptist Church. This is Sarah sharing her testimony. Next slide. This is Lusaka Baptist Church. They had a new building completed just before we got there. This building will hold about 1,500 people. They have an annual conference that draws people from across Zambia and the seven surrounding countries as well. And they pack it out with 1,500 was last year, and every year it goes up about 300 people. And so it's always exciting to see that annual conference. The church, the membership, I think, is 450, but every morning there's about 1,000 people in the church each Sunday. Next slide, please. Andrew's sharing his testimony. Next slide. Sarah keeps busy with the animals. What is that? That's a chameleon. So she had 43 eggs, 19 of them hatched. This is one of the 19 that she set loose in our yard. Next slide, please. Andrew is the one who's usually getting injured, so here he is getting stitches removed out of his leg from his more recent injury. Next slide. And there's a view of our house again. Next slide, please. Ian's been getting into learning different skills, and here he's learned how to weld, so he welded together this basketball goal. Next slide. Lise is always busy with hospitality. We have visitors continually, at least one, two, or three different people coming through, and so it's always enjoyable to kind of interact with people, learn more about Africa through it, and Lisa keeps her very busy trying to keep up with all our guests. Next slide, please. I've got a lot of opportunities to speak in the different churches, so it's enjoyable to take part in both the teaching and sharing ACU as well. Next slide. We've got a lot of good conference speakers come through as well. I don't know how many people know Bodie Balcom, but we enjoy seeing him every year. He's really committed to helping the Baptist churches there in Lusaka, so we see him each year at that conference I mentioned. Next slide. This is outside Lusaka Baptist Church that we're now members of. Next slide, please. I've also had an opportunity to go to a lot of different conferences. This was a unique conference. All the Christian higher education institutes of Africa, leaders of those were coming together to discuss the approach to education in Africa that was very beneficial to us. Next slide, please. And we've also traveled a little bit. This is in Livingston, Victoria Falls. Yes, thank you. Next slide. These are the mini buses that you'll see all over the city hauling passengers around. Next slide, please. This is one of the markets where if you came out, you would buy your little trinkets and tourist supplies. Next slide, please. And Ian's been a big help with building projects. Here he is setting up an office for Ray Warwick. Next slide, please. Sarah has volunteered at a veterinary clinic just down the street from us, so she was there every Wednesday. Next slide, please. And this is the guest room. I wanted to show that so everyone knows there's where you would stay if you come and visit us. Next slide. And there's our security, so we are well protected. Next slide, please. And we did take a break recently. I thought I would show a little bit of the wildlife just so you know that we really are in Africa. There we are coming across the pontoon. We were stayed in a lodge for 3 days because I was felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown if I didn't get away for a brief time. Next slide, please. And we were catching tiger fish in the Zambezi River. Look at those teeth. It's of the piranha family, but they get quite large. Next slide, please. There's a baobab tree, the famous African tree. Next slide, please. And an elephant. I think this one's a movie. If we can click that one more time. Oops. The very last slide. We're actually in a boat on a river, so we were able to get within about 10 yards of this elephant. He wasn't happy. Okay, so thank you, John, for manually handling that. So I hope that answered a lot of questions. I'll be happy to answer questions. I ended right on the hour. So if we want to, is that okay if we, if anyone has any questions, we could maybe take a few brief questions. Yes. It's preparatory. We're trying to design it to up the academic level for going into any university, with the desire being that we want to attract Muslims, Catholics, people from anywhere to come in and to take advantage of this one-year program. And, hopefully a lot of them will experience salvation and stick with ACU, it's really our attempt to outreach with the gospel. John, did you?
How many students are you anticipating?
This scholars program, we're hoping for 30 to 50. Students, there's a huge demand for higher education. One of the reasons why we're so excited about higher education is it's the number one booming growth in Africa in general. In fact, within Lusaka, I think there's, at least half a dozen universities starting in the next year or two. And they're so far from meeting the demand that students are basically, you end up, setting very high academic standards just to limit down to what you can actually handle. So the student pool is quite large. We're actually hoping this first year to kind of concentrate on the churches so we can work out our programs better on students where we know what their background is a little more, but we're open to see what the Lord brings to us. So I think the limit of what we'll be able to handle is 50 students this first year. John?
Do you have to have your land settled before you start the college program, or can you start that somewhere else?
We can. The importance of the land is for the student labor program. We would like to have the land so the students can go out and do productive labor that will, benefit the development of the campus. But we've got other plans. If that doesn't work out, we can still initiate the student labor program in other ways. So we're open to that, but it would certainly be nice to have the land. We do have the money for the first stage of phase one of building, so whenever we do get the land, we're ready to get started. Yes. Yeah, good question. I should have mentioned that. Actually, almost anything, because we want to cover all the humanities, and by the way, here we would call it liberal arts and sciences. The word liberal, as soon as you hear that in Africa, everyone puts a tag on it as, oh, this is a liberal school, we don't want to go there. So it's humanities and the sciences is what we would call it there. But essentially any textbook or even literary book that is not too old, as long as it's, you know, still something that would be considered contemporary. If it's older, if it's a real classic, that would be okay as well. We want to focus a lot on the classics in the various disciplines in the first two-year Biblical Worldview program. So there's not really much limit on what we're looking for in terms of books. Yes, Ms. Carroll. Absolutely, yes. That is the national language. They struggle in it because it's their second language for the most part. Now, the younger generation, they're actually growing up in homes where they're speaking English from the beginning, but a lot of people, it's their second language, which is why language arts is kind of one of our higher priorities for remedial education. So, yes, we could use English books. In fact, down to somewhere around the seventh grade level would be usable. Yes. Yes. Did you say tuition?
Yeah,
there will be. In fact, we're trying to set it. We don't want to go too high above the state university. University of Zambia is right there in Lusaka, actually right next door to where we live. We want to set it slightly higher than that. We kind of want to the education to be, you know, a higher standard and to make it apparent in the cost. So right now we're looking at maybe around $3,000 to $4,000 a year, converted from their currency, which would be the state university is about $2,000 a year. All right. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. We were really excited that they all are going to be together in Chattanooga. So Don Maurice and Hannah, I think it was very good that they went all the way through together, and now they both have jobs in Chattanooga, which, by the way, you can pray for both of them as well. Don Maurice wants to be a police officer in the Chattanooga Police Department. No one expects their daughter to do that, so we have been drawn to our knees multiple times, and she's convinced that this is what the Lord's preparing her for, and out of 200 applicants, she was the number one pick for the Chattanooga Police Department, so it does seem that she has what they're looking for, at least, and so we will be heavy in prayer for her, I think, on a daily basis, but her experience was really, she saw that there's a lot of Christians in the police force there in Chattanooga, and they really interact closely with their community. A lot of them in their off time, they're doing community projects in the areas that they patrol, and she was really drawn to that. So she felt like that was an area that she could minister in as her vocation as well. And then Hannah is looking for a teaching position at the elementary school level, and everyone's telling her, well, you need more work experience. So she's trying to develop that through substitute teaching. So, and then having Sarah there, I think it'll be a real comfort to us to have the three of them still together.
Does Sarah have an idea of direction?
She does. She wants to major in art and minor in biology. And she's the one who's confident. She wants to move back to Africa and do animal rehabilitation, which doesn't pay anything. So she wants to raise support through selling her artwork. And so her artistic abilities have developed amazingly well. And so we'll see what the Lord does with her. But she'll get a little broader exposure to art while she's at college. So we'll see if that career path pans out for her. Okay, well, again, I appreciate your attention. It's a little bit after the hour, so I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and I don't know if there's a fellowship time afterwards. Okay, good. Thanks.
Gracious Father in heaven, we're thrilled to be called and numbered among your people, Lord. We know how precious the relationship that we have is with you, and what a privilege it is to carry the benefits of that relationship out to the world around us, Lord. I pray that all that we do would magnify what you're doing in our heart, would demonstrate what a transformed life that's consumed with Christ looks like, and that as we impact the culture around us, Lord, that they would be aware that we're not simply unique individuals or individuals with a special talent, but that they would see Christ in us. They would realize that it's only by the work of Christ that we're any different than any other individual. Father, I pray that testimony of each one of us would be what we're known by, that we would be Christians, we would be those who are counted with Christ. Thank you for the opportunities we've had to share about what you're doing in Zambia. Pray that as this project grows, that you would draw more people into it that would have a passion for demonstrating that Christ-likeness and discipling African students in the skills that they've been brought in a way that demonstrate what it is to use those skills to glorify Christ. And I do pray, Lord, that in all that we do, Father, that it wouldn't build up our own pride, that it wouldn't be something that puffs up our own egos, but it would always be a humbling process of realizing what weak vessels we are, and yet by your grace, how you use us and how you utilize the power of the gospel and the power of your Spirit working through us to accomplish impacting the communities that we live in and transforming lives around us. We pray that each of us would be used in that way, and that we would glory in it and praise you for that work that you're doing through us and through the church. We thank you for our time this evening, Lord. We pray that as we fellowship this evening, that you would be glorified in our conversation, and that as we go out this week, Lord, that we would have opportunity to represent you to the world around us in a way that would impact this world and that would draw people to you. We offer these things up to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.